Good morning. Welcome to Brahm Ministries, a Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Welcome to the Lord's Supper celebration. And today's Lord's Supper celebration is the cross is a reminder that love is a show-me experience. Love is a show-me experience. Love is something that you can see. And the Lord's work on the cross is the greatest demonstration of love ever. That's the great and transparent thing about love. Love isn't a feeling, even though you can feel it. Love is a value. Love is a thought. And that value, that thought, is demonstrated in every action. Love is something you can see when it exists. The Lord loves us. In John chapter 15, verse 12, the Lord Jesus Christ says this: "This is my mandate. This is my command, that you love one another unconditionally, just as I, the Lord Jesus Christ, have loved you unconditionally." It's in the imperative mood in the Greek. And what the Lord is saying is that it is imperative in my mind that you do this, that you love one another unconditionally, just as I, the Lord Jesus Christ, have loved you unconditionally. And I think one of the most misunderstood things about unconditional love is I can love you unconditionally and not like at all what you do. I can love you unconditionally and not like you, but I can still love you unconditionally. I can place no conditions on you. So it took me a long time to learn that lesson as a human being, because early on I had rigid conditions. You will get my love if, and that doesn't work out really well at all. So how do we know the Lord loves us? He shows us. John chapter 15, verse 13 says this: "Greater unconditional love has no one than this love, that one lay down his life for his friends." And when love is mutual, there's nothing more powerful on the earth. And today, just as we do every month, we demonstrate our love by celebrating the Lord's Supper. It is a meal of remembrance, and it is for us to demonstrate our love for the Lord. We eat by breaking bread, we drink by tasting the fruit of the vine, and we look back to the cross, one of the most significant occurrences of love in divine history. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 says this: "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." At the Lord's Supper celebration, as a gathering of his believers, we remember the Lord's death on the cross, which paid the price for Adam's sin, the sin that is credited to the account of all mankind at physical birth, the sin resulting in spiritual death for all. At the Lord's Supper celebration, we remember the shedding of the Lord's blood to cleanse us from this unrighteousness, an unrighteousness caused by the sin of independence. And we remember with gladness that the Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead 3 days after his crucifixion, both to prove that he is deity and to give us hope. And now we believers in Christ know beyond a shadow of a doubt, through his infallible word, in which word he never lies, that the Lord Jesus Christ is seated victorious at the right hand of his Father's throne and is waiting for that moment when God the Father will make the Lord's enemies a footstool for his feet. So welcome to a place where you can be reminded constantly that you are loved by God with real love that requires nothing from you. So the opening song today, if you're holding on to anything in your heart that is keeping you from loving, this would be a great time to place your concerns into the hand of the Lord as we listen to the opening song, which is "Change My Heart, O God," by the Maranatha Praise Band.
Change my heart, oh God.
This is our fervent desire, isn't it, to handle things like God handles things. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, we thank you for loving us. When we come into your presence in prayer, we come with an awareness that your love completely overwhelms our concerns about our own imperfection. You see our flaws and you love us anyway. That's true love. Teach us today to love you in return by demonstrating our love. We show you our love by obeying you and by obeying your word. Help us to rest in the warmth of your unconditional love that asks nothing more from us than a trusting heart of faith. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's Lord's Supper celebration, the cross, is a reminder that love is a show-me experience. Love is a show-me experience. Let's begin the lesson by taking the offering. God loves generosity. And one of the surest ways to demonstrate your unconditional love for others is through giving from a graceful heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 8 say this, "Now I, Paul, say that he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." 2 Corinthians 9, 7, "Each one must give just as he has purposed in his heart, and not give grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful, a willing giver." 2 Corinthians 9:8, "And God the Father is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed." God rewards giving with abundance. The farmer who sows only a few seeds reaps only a few crops. The farmer who sows many seeds reaps an abundance of crops. If you are listening to lessons at Barah Ministries and you like them, show us by means of your generosity. Encourage us with your giving. And by the way, thank you for the generosity you demonstrated at the end of the year, because it was very encouraging and allows us to continue this ministry. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall to take the offer.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Deacon Denny, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church with real people, real truth, and a real pastor. And I think I figured out, or actually Pastor figured out last week, why we have troubles with kids, in relationships with parents, with friends, with family members, with wives and husbands, with co-workers, and all those things. It's because we're settlers. We want to settle. And I remember as a kid, you know, when I was done with chores, all I wanted to do was chill. I didn't want to do anything. I wanted to veg out, was what my mom called it. And when she would call me out on things, say, "Hey, you didn't finish this up," I wasn't happy with her. I was mad at her. And I think the same thing goes, you know, when coaches call you out for not giving your full effort. Do you loathe them, or do you like them after that? Because really, they're calling you out. They want the best for you, just like parents when they call you out, they want the best for you. Just like when pastor calls you out, he wants the best for you. But we don't appreciate it. We get mad at it. We get angry because we feel like, oh, you're dogging me out. You're calling me out. You're making me look bad, rather than appreciating it. You know, we want to settle. We want to just, you know, stay right where we're at. That's why I think, you know, God gave Adam, he gave him Eve, because otherwise he'd have just been chilling in the garden all by himself. He wouldn't have tried to get better. He wouldn't have tried to do anything. He needed somebody there to kind of edge him on, and what'd you call it? A nudge. He needed a nudge, make him strive for better. It's like my wife, you know, I probably would have had just a bachelor pad, but she came along, she's like, "I don't really like this room." It's like, well, it was all this furniture I bought. "I don't like it. Let's get rid of it. Let's move along. Let's push you along a little bit. Let's strive for more." And I didn't like it at first, but now I love it because we have great stuff, a much better house to entertain with people, a much better place to bring people into, and you're proud of it, rather than just like a pull-out couch bed and like a brick, some cinder blocks, and a TV sitting on it. And, you know, because that would have been fine for me. I'd just settle with that. I'm good. Got the TV going and the PlayStation 4, and I don't need anything else. But I think, you know, we get called out by people and we don't appreciate it. And I think we should appreciate it. And I think that's why a lot of seats, you know, emptied around here, because pastor's not like, what is it, 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1, where people, they want to have their ears tickled by doctrines of demons, and they want to just come in here and have a nice little happy time and just have their settler ways amplified. They don't want to have their ways pushed, a different way pushed on them. They don't want to have their eye just gouged out by the pastor. They don't want a punch in the belly. But I think that's what we need a lot of times, is to move along those settler ways we have. And that's why I look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, a much different way now. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, not just some of the armor, the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, that's today, and having done everything, to stand firm. You know, and that's why we come here each week, is so that we can take on the full armor. We can stand firm when we have problems in our marriage, or we have problems with friendships, or we have problems at our work, you know, so that we can stand firm. And that's why so many people give to this church, and it's amazing how it really does motivate our pastor to know that the people are out there, and they're giving of their time, their talent, and their treasure to make this go forward, to nudge us forward, and not just sit and settle, because we've moved along, you know, we could have just stayed at pastor's house. We could still be there today. We'd save a lot of money. We wouldn't have to spend here. We could have all the equipment there. We could just keep it nice and easy. He'd just stroll in his robe. It'd be super easy for him. But that's not professional. That's not the full armor of God. And that's why we're here today. And that's why we're going to be in that building in the future, without a doubt. So thank you for your time, your talent, your treasure, and continually giving to this church.
Welcome back. The Lord's Supper celebration of the cross is a reminder that love is a show-me experience. Love is a show-me experience. Well, Deacon Denny, could you just shut your pie hole? Telling women that they're good for us because they're nudges. Would you just shut your pie hole? The truth is hard to hear. But it is definitely true. My wife is the queen of nudges. Yeah, it's a huge difference. But women have the gift of repetition. Yep. Poke, poke, poke. All right, so the Lord shows us how much he loves us. Everything our Lord does is completely different from the approach of the world, especially his love. The world loves those who love them. The Lord loves differently. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48, the Lord Jesus Christ illuminates for us what real love looks like. Here's what it looks like. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. This is the Lord talking. Matthew 5:44. But I, the Lord Jesus Christ, say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. When's the last time you tried that? Matthew 5:45, so that through this unconditional love you may demonstrate that you are sons of your God, the Father, who is in heaven. For God the Father causes his Son to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God is not a respecter of persons. Whether you're a believer in him or an unbeliever, he still loves you anyway. Matthew 5:46. For if you love those who love you, and of course you do, first class condition if in the Greek, what reward do you have? Don't even tax collectors do the same? Matthew 5:47. If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Don't even Gentiles do the same? That's one of the things that always cracks me up on planes, that if somebody is not sitting with the person that they came with, you know, they immediately want to get away from the seat that, you know, if they're sitting next to me and let's say a husband is sitting next to me and his wife is sitting someplace else, they immediately want to get together. Why? They don't even talk to each other when they get together. It's funny. But that's how xenophobic we are. We are totally averse to strangers, totally averse to just walking up to somebody and being social with them and making that a practice in our lives. You know, people come up on the street and you just see the physical turning away. I was getting on the elevator at the airport. Now, this is the airport. There's some such circumstances where I would understand this. But this is the airport where there's a policeman every foot, right? And I come up to the elevator and there's a lady standing there and then she pretends to wander off. Right? So I get on the elevator. And then when I got off the elevator, I just stood there. And about 2 minutes later, she comes up and gets off on two. I said, was that necessary? Honestly, was that necessary? It's like, I'm dressed up. I got deodorant on. What is it? But that's how scared we are of people. Just look at people sometimes. You just look people in the eye when you're walking around. You just see how scared they are, how frightened they are of people they don't know, things that they don't know, that which is uncomfortable. That's not Christian conduct. That's not how we are. What are we scared of? We have the sovereign of the universe on our side. So if you greet only your brothers, this is Matthew 5:47. If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Matthew 5:48. Therefore, you are to be perfect in your loving, just as your heavenly Father is perfect in his loving. And we are perfect when we love as the Lord loves. The Lord showed us his love by dying for everyone. And the Lord asks us to demonstrate the same loving attitude he has toward others, the same willingness to lay down our lives for each other. That's real love. Are you living up to this standard of love in your relationships? Let me repeat that. Are you living up to that standard of love in your relationships? Are you willing to lay down your life for the people you love? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 say this: you believers in Christ were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, which you inherited from your human forefathers. 1 Peter 1:19, but you were redeemed with precious blood, the blood of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your salvation was purchased at quite a cost with the blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when you think of all the pretender gods, the icons of the religions, you have to ask yourself if you saw them lay down their lives, both for believers and unbelievers alike. And the truth is, no, they didn't. As a matter of fact, they formed an exclusive club, thus exposing themselves as not from God. In the Roman Catholic Church, if you leave the Roman Catholic Church, you are now excluded from the kingdom of heaven. Excluded from the kingdom of heaven. That doesn't resemble the Lord Jesus Christ in any way. Not in any way. Which makes it clear that it's not from God. See, the Lord invites you to a lifestyle of love that shows how much It values all. All. Well, let's enjoy the elements of the Lord's Supper celebration following God's request. We keep on celebrating Christ and his cross on a regular basis. We eat to remember his person. We drink to remember his work, the voluntary sacrifice that he made on the cross on our behalf as our substitute. And we are grateful for what God has done for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24 say this, I, Paul, received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is and keeps on being my body, which is broken for you. Keep on doing this celebration for the purpose of remembering me. When we eat the bread during the Lord's Supper celebration, we remember the Lord Jesus Christ as a person. And when we drink the cup, we remember his work. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 say this, in the same way the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup after supper, representing his death on the cross, saying, this cup is a new testament forged with my blood. Keep on doing this celebration, and as often as you drink it, do so for the purpose of remembering me. 1 Corinthians 11, 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup as part of the Lord's Supper celebration, you proclaim as a reality and you announce the significance of the Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead until he comes again in the second coming. So as you enjoy the bread and as you eat, as you enjoy the bread and as you drink from the cup, enjoy the memory of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as well, because now and always we should keep in mind that we are loved unconditionally, that we are accepted fully by God, the Lord who is always there, the one we can depend on. And let's enjoy his unconditional love day by day. And that's the name of our Lord's Supper song. Well, God's love is full of forgiveness. Let's take a music break and listen to Matthew West sing about it.
Thing on your mind today, it always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they caused is just too real. Takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness. Forgiveness. In the face of all your pride, it moves away the mad inside. It's always anger's own worst enemy. Even when the jury and the judge say you got a right to hold a grudge, it's the whisper in your ear saying set it free. Forgiveness. Set a prisoner free. There is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness. Forgiveness.
Supper celebration, the cross is a reminder that love is a show me experienced. How does God love thee? Let me count the one way. He shows his love unconditionally. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this: God the Father demonstrates his own unconditional love toward all mankind in that while we were yet sinners, while we were unrighteous, ungodly, unbelievers, Christ died instead of us. John chapter 3, verse 16, God the Father loved the world unconditionally. And he loved the world so much that he gave his uniquely born son, the Lord Jesus Christ, 100% God, 100% true humanity in one person forever, so that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but instead shall have the resurrection life, eternal life. God placed us believers into union with himself at the moment of salvation so that we can never be separated from God's unconditional love again. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39 say this: who or what will separate us from the unconditional love of Christ? Will tribulation? No. Or distress? No. Or persecution? No. Or famine? No. Or nakedness? No. Or peril? No. Or sword? Will those separate us? No. Romans 8:36, just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Paul's talking about pastors and our disheartening experience as pastors. Romans 8:37, but in all these tribulations we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us unconditionally. God always gives us the strength to get to the other side. Romans 8:38, for I, Paul, am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the unconditional love of God the Father, which comes from being in union with Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's look at those again. For I, Paul, am convinced that not physical death, not anything in life, can separate us from the unconditional love of God. Not any angelic creatures, demons or the elect angels, not principalities, no demon rulers, not Satan, nor things present, things that are going on in your life right now, nor things to come, things that are going to happen in the future, nor powers, no governments. Romans 8:39, not height, nothing in the heavens, not depth, nothing below the earth, nor any other created thing, no creature, will ever be able to separate us from the unconditional love of God the Father, which comes from being in union with Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 say this: beloved, divinely loved ones, let us love one another unconditionally. For unconditional love is from God the Father. And everyone who loves unconditionally is a born-again one of God the Father. And everyone who loves unconditionally knows God the Father, because that love comes from believers in Christ. 1 John 4, 8, and the one who does not love unconditionally, unbelievers, does not know God the Father, for God the Father is unconditional love. It's one of the great things about unbelievers, they're so predictable. You always know that in a tough situation, they're not going to be on your side. What does unconditional love look like? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 8. We've heard this a lot of times at weddings, and we thought it referred to romantic love. It does not. And here it is, 1 Corinthians 13, beginning at verse 1. If I speak with the tongue of men and angels, but did not have unconditional love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. In other words, if you don't love unconditionally, you're just blah, blah, blah. You sound like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wop, 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 wop. 1 Corinthians 13, 2. If I have the gift of prophecy, if I can predict things, if I know all the mysteries, and if I have all knowledge, and if I have all faith, a faith that would move all mountains, all obstacles, but did not have unconditional love, I am nothing. Unconditional love, then, is the foundation of the Christian way of life. It's what separates us from everybody else. 1 Corinthians 13, 3. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have unconditional love, it profits me nothing. See, actions are not the key. The foundation of thought, the value of unconditional love, the thoughts that come from that value, those are the things that matter. You know, actions will come from that, but it's the thoughts that matter. 1 Corinthians 13, 4, unconditional love is patient. Are you? Unconditional love is kind. Are you? Unconditional love is not jealous. Unconditional love does not brag. Unconditional love is not arrogant. 13:5. Unconditional love does not act unbecomingly. Unconditional love does not seek its own. Unconditional love is not provoked. Unconditional love does not take into account a wrong suffered. 1 Corinthians 13:6. Unconditional love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but unconditional love rejoices with the truth. 1 Corinthians 13:7. Unconditional love bears all things. Unconditional love believes all things. Unconditional love hopes all things. Unconditional love endures all things. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Unconditional love never fails. I have a friend who's going through a tough time in marriage. I have a couple of friends who are going through a tough time in marriage. And it's amazing to me to watch their unconditional love on display. And all of the things that we just talked about, you know, not acting unbecomingly, being patient with the situation, even though it's extremely painful, I salute them. I'm amazed by them as people. They inspire me to keep on loving even when it hurts. It's amazing to see. You don't hear about that. You're not going to turn on your TV later today and hear about all the people who are in relationships where the other person is absolutely wronging them and they hung in there and they stayed right there. No, you're going to turn on the TV and hear Oprah's philosophy. If they cheat on you, then leave them. That's how unbelievers think. Unbelievers only love those who love them. And anytime you make a mistake, you're going to get kicked to the curb. That's the way God's enemy works. Is that the way you work? Because if you work that way as a Christian, there's something defective in your Christianity. Because that is not the way the one we worship works. We don't kick people to the curb. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and unconditional love abide in the sphere of these three. But the greatest of these three is unconditional love. Know this. God loves you unconditionally. Today and every day. Look around you. Look around you. He has surrounded you with evidences of his unconditional love. Your challenge as a Christian is to see those things and to reflect his unconditional love to others around you. And every time you look at the cross, every time you look at the cross, and by the way, there's nobody on the cross. Anytime you see Christ hanging on the cross, that's a joke. Because he isn't there anymore. He has risen, just like he said. Every time you look at the cross, you should remember you are loved. You should remember that God wants you so you can always make the important, most important decision of your life. As for me, I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news that he died on a cross to save you, because that's the power of God the Father, divine omnipotence, to provide salvation to everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Jew first in sequence, chronological sequence, and also to the Greeks, the Gentiles. Matthew 7, 13 and 14, enter salvation through the narrow gate. The narrow gate is the Lord Jesus Christ. There can't be just one way to heaven. Oh, yes, there is. There's one way to heaven. It's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through that gate. Matthew 7:14, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to the resurrection life. That gate is the Lord Jesus Christ, and there are few who find it. John 10:9, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, am the door. I am the door to salvation. If anyone enters through believing in me, he will be saved, and then he will go in and out and find pasture, the sanctification life. 1 Corinthians 15:22. All in union with Adam are set to die the second death in the lake of fire. That's all of us at physical birth. But all those who have believed in Christ and are now in union with Christ will live the resurrection life. June Murphy to sing the closing song, The Word is Alive.
walking out from his throne, the Father of light and of men, chose to make himself known and show us the way back to him, speaking wisdom and truth into the hearts of peasants and kings. He began to unveil the word that would change the course of all things. With eyes wide open, all would see the word is alive, and it cuts like a sword through the darkness, with a message of life to the hopeless and afraid, breathing life into all who believe. The word is alive, and the world and its glories will fade, but its truth, it will not pass away. It remains yesterday and forever the same. The word is alive. Simple strokes on a page, eternity's secrets revealed, carried on from age to age. It speaks truth to us even still. And as the rain falls from heaven, feeds the earth before it returns, Lord, let your word fall on us and bring forth the fruit you deserve. With eyes wide open, let us see the word is alive, and it cuts like a sword through the darkness, with a message of life to the hopeless and afraid, breathing life into all who believe. The word is alive, and the world and its glories will fade, but its truth then will not pass away. It remains yesterday and forever the same. The word is alive. The word is alive. Word is alive, and it cuts like a sword through the darkness, with a message of life to the hopeless and afraid, breathing life into all who believe. The word is alive, and the world and its glories will fade, but its truth it will not pass.
Stay in my seat from now on when you, while you're up here singing. You just blew out one of my eardrums.
Oh,
that was awesome. It was exciting, though. I like being deaf.
Okay.
Oh.
You say,
that's right. You can sign. I forgot. That's right. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, you know what? Thank you for everything. We just want to change, Father. We don't want to be like the world. And so just keep inspiring us. Keep opening our hearts. Keep opening our minds to be different. Teach us not to get better. Teach us to get different. Teach us that we have the power to change things immediately. Teach us that change is a decision, not a process. Show us how to be the people that you expected us to become when you created us in eternity past. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. And thanks for listening.